Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name's Joe Screbbles. I'm joined by Dale Driver.
Hello.
And the giggling Simon Cardi.
Straight-faced.
He just made a little creepy face before we started and he thought
That's
he was
like
so
me.
Funny.
You got very tired eyes today.
I've had a very long week. It's only Thursday. We're recording this on a Thursday. I've broken the illusion once again. But yeah, I've had a long time.
I feel like you've broken the illusion.
Well, some people might think we record on a Friday. I don't want to break
cards. Oh, I see. I thought that was your term for like being too tired.
No.
I've broken the illusion.
Yeah, the illusion of life. I'm now in a dream state somewhere between this earth and another.
I feel like you were less tired before we started, and now you. Now I said you were tired, you've turned it up.
I'm tired, and I can also feel a little bit of illness coming on. I've got a bit of a runny nose, bit of a headache.
Earlier, he turned around to talk to me, and he spoke entirely in the voice of a North American podcaster telling a sad story where they do that croaky voice, vocal fry.
Yeah, very, like, that is on cereal.
Yeah, what do you want about
feeling very
the embargo
croaky.
For that?
But I'm battling through, and You're I'll be here not. Tomorrow. Don't you worry.
You better be, because we've got to record Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
We started a new series. If you haven't seen it, it's called Never Have I Ever Played, and it's where one of us exposes ourselves to angry commenters who are angry that we still
work here.
We
don't just
here.
Expose ourselves. That's not the whole series.
Oh, I got mad to go on.
Sorry.
As an impression of you earlier.
Oh, right,
Yeah, no, but we're playing The Last of Us. I've never played it before, so we're playing it for the first time. Game's all right.
What? Okay. You haven't finished it yet, so
no,
that's understandable.
No, it's fine. Yeah. The controls are a bit old, but beyond that, it's really good.
I mean, it is old. What is it, 6 years?
The controls are a bit old. Yeah. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to say.
Yeah.
But you know what else I've been playing that's well old?
What?
Link's Awakening.
But it's so old, but it's yet so new.
Please don't plagiarise my review.
I haven't even read it yet.
You fucker. I've given this game a 9.4 out of 10.
Oh.
And if you do bring up the fact that the original Game Boy Color version got a 10 and a 9.5 from us, fuck off. It's not how scores work.
There's also been changes in everything. Yeah. The world.
The person who reviewed it. Yeah.
All I'm saying is, go back and read their words, then read my words. See who you trust more. Old Scrabby.
Who did the review?
Some joker, I don't know.
Oh, right, okay.
They're probably really famous.
Per Schneider.
Oh, shit.
Where did the original rank in your Zelda games?
Quite low.
Oh, you're not a fan. It's a lot of people's favourite.
It's not that I'm not a fan. It's that it's not... To me, it's not a prototypical Zelda. It was designed because Link to the Past did really well and they wanted one on the Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of... Originally, it was meant to be a port of Link to the Past. You know how they used to do, like, bad Game Boy versions of good games on
Absolutely.
Other consoles?
They did that with Sonic on the Game Gear as well.
Harry Potter Quidditch World Cup, I remember.
that was one that's come straight to my mind as well.
Yeah. I remember wanting that as a kid. I saw how good and 3D it looked. Got it on the Game Boy Advance. My life was never the same again.
That was a review as well, good and 3D.
But because...
I wasn't reviewing games when I was 7.
But because Nintendo are sick, what they did instead was they started making Link to the Past and went, oh, we can just make a whole other game. And then they were all obsessed with Twin Peaks, so they based the story on Twin Peaks, so it's got this weird dream element where you've washed up on an island. Zelda's not even in it. I don't know what legend she's getting out of this.
She's not the egg. Is that the egg?
She's not the egg. The egg is the wind fish, obviously.
Sorry.
It's a story
about... I've not played Link's Awakening ever, so it's all lost on me.
So that was actually my major problem with it, is that it was all lost on me. I was lost in it. It's a game that is basically really obtuse. Like, the major challenge isn't that the dungeons are hard or that the bosses are difficult or that you need to learn loads of stuff. It's kind of a treasure hunt.
Okay.
You're essentially trying to find out where to go next most of the time, and that's its key challenge.
So is there more puzzle than combat than most Zelda games?
Maybe not more than most, but... It's certainly got a big puzzly element, but the puzzle is usually like, where the hell do I go?
Yeah.
And you'll find like a set of stairs under a bush and stuff.
Is it hard?
It's hard if you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. It's not hard to control and do stuff in it.
So I did play the original on the Game Boy, and I don't think I saw past the first hour or so ever, but I saw that first hour about 50 times.
You were quite stupid
as a child, though, weren't you?
I mean, that, yeah, combined with being a child, it's made it quite a struggle.
I think a lot of people have exactly the same thing. I know the exact sign that I used to look at and go, it says there's an animal village. How the fuck do I get to the animal village? And I never saw it. And I saw it again recently when I replayed the original fully. Mm. And it turns out it's not that hard to do. I was a moron.
Okay, so it's a kid thing then. It's actually a reasonable game.
It's just having a more kind of analytical mind. Yeah. Like when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I'm just going to walk around until I find what I need to find. Whereas an adult, you're like, well, I've heard this clue, and I can put those two things together and try and work out where to go.
Like when I was a kid, I used to play a lot of the LucasArts games and Monkey Island games. And my solution would inevitably be try every single aisle and every single possibility until I work it out.
Trial and error.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that is kind of the deal with those ones.
Some of them were so obtuse, though. That was the only way to work them out.
One puzzle in the original Monkey Island, if you do that, you lose that arm forever. You've broken the game.
Yeah.
On the ship.
Poor.
There's that one where you have to you need a monkey wrench, and you actually have to pick up a monkey and use him as a wrench.
That's a very good joke, though, isn't it?
it's a good joke, but an 8-year-old isn't thinking how to solve that puzzle.
It occurs to me that we've only talked about the 1993 version of this game.
Does it feel like... So, obviously, 9.4, you think it's pretty good.
I think it's brilliant.
Does it feel like a full new Zelda game, or is it just a good little step between both Breath of the Wild?
That's it. It's hard to say because I have played it before, so I know what it is.
Is the core Zelda team working on this, or have they got people basically...
This is a co-development with Grezzo, who do a lot of their remake stuff. But basically what it feels like is they've taken the bones of an old game and made them really pretty, put some good flesh on them. It's like a really, really pretty new treatment. Like, it's a brand new art style for Zelda. It's like this odd sort of Toy Town tilt shift thing.
Reminds me a lot of Captain Toad.
Yeah, it's a lot like Captain Toad with very Animal Crossing-y villagers. Yeah. But it's got this whole tilt shift thing that it goes with. That makes everything look kind of plasticky and like Lego movie-y almost, like Playmobil walking about, which I really like.
Yeah.
Which, if you know the story, kind of makes sense. But, you know, apparently, according to embargo, I'm not allowed to tell you what the story is for a 1993 game. But basically, I would say that if you've not played this game before, it would feel like a new Zelda.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't feel like... It's obviously not like Breath of the Wild. It's a proper retro, work your way around this island, work stuff out, like use little items and stuff.
How long are we talking?
I would say if you're not a stupid child like me, and your first time through, maybe 15 hours. And that's without collecting stuff. They've added a lot more, well, not a lot more, but they've added bits to collect that weren't in the originals. And there's the whole building a dungeon thing, which is kind of a disappointment because it looks like it's going to be Super Zelda Maker. Like, you're going to make your own dungeons. But then you can't edit any of the pieces. You just have the pieces of the dungeons you've already played.
Right, okay.
And you can't share them through anything other than an amiibo.
So I saw in your review, you mentioned that they're based in shots which are a replacement for the camera shops. They had the Game Boy camera stuff.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they came up with the idea of the dungeon maker first? Or did they come up with, we need to replace the camera shots?
Exactly that.
Yeah.
That's definitely what's happened. Yeah. They've gone, oh, right, well, we can't have Game Boy printer enabled photos in this anymore. Yeah. So... Let's put something else in. And I'm not complaining about getting more content. If you really like the dungeons in this game and you're happy to make your own, it's a nice little thing. It's just not as cool as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Although it does make me think Super Zelda Maker will come out one day, and that will be amazing.
Yeah, maybe it's like just a testing ground for it as a concept.
Is it a good fun engine for Zelda? Would you like to see another Zelda game be made in that style?
I don't like Zelda games ever coming out in the same style, really. They change art style
Except
enough.
Breath of the Wild too.
Well, that's fine because obviously I want more of that game. I'm not a moron. But I like it when they change stuff. So, like, Link Between Worlds was until Breath of the Wild my favourite Zelda, had this whole different aesthetic that they've never gone back to. This is kind of building on that a little bit, but in a different direction. And that's what I like, is if they're going to keep making 2D Zeldas or remakes, just every time take that idea of a 3D top-down game and then just change what that art style is around it.
I wish there was more Zeldas on the Switch because I've never been a massive Zelda fan growing up. I've only ever finished Wind Waker and Breath of the Wild. I've never really properly played them, so I'd like to see them put more on the Switch.
Yeah.
Like, Ocarina, obviously, everyone says is great, and I will play it one day. Majora's Mask has always intrigued me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a darker version.
Yeah. Weirder structure as well.
What do you think's next on the remake?
I don't know if there is going to be a next remake. I think they might do another little spin-offy one. Like, Link Between Worlds was perfect to me because it was half a remake because you were taking the world of Link to the Past, but then just doing a whole new thing with it and putting brand new mechanics in it. And like, you're renting items and doing all this weird stuff that Zelda's never done. Kind of turning a 2D Zelda into an open world game at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, more of that. Like, more just taking an idea and going, well, let's push this all the way down so we have a Zelda game at its core, but it's doing something different every time. Like, that's what I love about Nintendo.
I feel like there's a few they could easily convert, like Phantom Hourglass DS one, right? That feels like it could easily translate. Well,
They did Wind Waker HD for Wii. Wii U even.
I wouldn't surprise me if Wind Waker pops up again. And Twilight Princess they did as well. They did an HD remake.
I did not like Twilight Princess.
Not my favourite.
At all.
It's so gloomy. Yeah, I don't want gloomy Zeldas.
I like gloom.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd like Twilight Princess. I don't think it's gloomy in the way you want it to be. Majora's Mask is the gloomy in the way you want it to be.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
dark. Proper dark.
It's like, it's a bit like more your grisly. Music. It's metal in the Zelda world, Majora's Mask.
Interesting.
You'd love it.
When's it out?
It's out tomorrow. Or today. Oh,
today. Today, Friday.
It's today, Friday.
Today, Friday.
I love today, Friday.
I thought I had it in my head. It was out next week.
No, it's coming in.
There's something else out today.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
No, it's not.
It's out on EA Access.
You're doing segues. Technically, it's out today.
Yeah. FIFA 20 is surprisingly out again this year. Well, FIFA is anyway. They don't release FIFA 20 every year, which is, do they? That's the common joke.
What's the big twist this year, mate?
Volta. Have you heard of that?
I have heard, only because I had to capture video for it.
People remember FIFA Street. They might remember FIFA Street. Who knows?
Put you back into it, Jesus.
I'm not feeling well. So, Volta is... There's many different modes within Volta. It's 3-a-side, 4-a-side, and 5-a-side. You've got futsal, which is basically just 5-a-side football. There's no walls or anything. Mm. It's more like your traditional 11-a-side game. You've got 3-a-side rush and 4-a-side rush, which is
the best.
My least favourite.
They are the best.
Fun. They're not the most fun. There's no goalkeepers and no one blocks the shots and they just roll past.
I am edging towards Dale's opinion here. I think they're more fun.
I don't think you've played enough. It to get irritating.
Me and Joe played 3v3 Coventry City versus Blackburn Rovers and it was a good time.
I'll give it. Playing against a friend is more interesting. Playing against the computer with no goalkeepers is not a fun experience.
That's fair.
Within Volta is the story mode, which is kind of follows a similar structure to The Journey did. If anyone played The Journey, but The Journey was far too long in my opinion. They were like 15 hours.
The last one
pop.
Was absurd. Yeah. Like the first year was like 10 hours. Yeah. By year three, it was nuts.
And it kind of hid behind this like thin veil of choice that you were deciding how Alex Hunter's career was going. When all you really were doing was picking what players you want to play with. There wasn't really massive choice decisions. So I think that's why the good thing about Volta is they've gone for just a simple 5 to 6 hour linear story. It's not a groundbreaking story. If you've seen like Little Giants, have you seen that?
Yeah, I have seen
Little
Giants.
There we go. It's that sort of thing, or Dodgeball. The Vince Vaughn comedy vehicle. that sort of vibe. You've got a team, you've got rivals, and you're trying to become the world champion of Volta football.
That sounds quite good.
Yeah, it's a fun 5 to 6 hours.
I want it to be cheesy as well.
The only problem with it for me is that a lot of it is the rush style of football with no goalkeepers. So I wasn't the biggest fan, especially as... If you lose a game, you have to start the whole tournament again, which can be up to 4 games again. And there's like no punishment for losing the game. Lose the game, you just start the tournament again. Like there's no like, the story doesn't change if you're doing badly. You have to win.
That reminds me of like every like WWE story mode in their games. It's like you have to win every single match. Yeah, it's like, I want to lose one and see what happens when I lose.
That's it. That's not even, unless you're, and let me show a bit of wrestling knowledge here, The Undertaker. Yeah. That would never happen.
Yeah. No,
always have losses. That's part of the whole wrestling
deal. Yeah, I want that to be part of the story. And the only times you do have losses is when it kicks into a cutscene and then it forces like, anyway, I've got distracted on WWE. Go back to FIFA.
No, but... So it doesn't really make you want to, like, if you put it on a hard... I started it on World Class, which In Volta is not that fun because they just pass around you constantly. It's very hard to get the ball back. And if you lose a game in the story mode, you have to replay all the matches. Yeah. So I just ended up turning it down, which created not a real challenge for me,
yeah,
just to see a story that I ultimately didn't care about. So, but there's a cool, there's a few little nods, especially if you were a fan of the journey. There's a couple of little things that link. I'm not going to spoil it.
Mm-hmm. Football players pop up.
Vinicius Jr. is in it. The young Real Madrid star.
Is Danny Williams from The Journey in it?
No, sadly.
What?
Which one's Danny Williams?
The Williams.
He's the one in the first game you think he's a dickhead, well, and by the second game he's his best mate.
But are they rivals?
They kind of start out. They are always kind of, yeah, they're rivals, but friends, but rivals. But
they, are they like on a similar trajectory?
Like me and
you, Dale. They start off both in like non-league and we're both working their way up, and they're in the Champions League final against each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's good. I love the Williams.
But yeah, Volta is okay. I think it's good, like, because FIFA Street was always its own game, and Volta is a pretty big chunk of content. They've been working on it for 2 years, so to have that in a core FIFA game does make it worth buying this year, I think, just because it's not just a reskin of last year's game. I'm not actually a fan of how the core 11v11 works this year as much. I don't think it feels as good. Feels quite two-paced. The players are back to feeling really quick, but the ball moves slowly. It's weird.
How did you feel about last year's game when you first played that? Is it an element of this is different, I've got to relearn systems, or is it just fundamentally worse?
Not kind of. Last year you couldn't really, so a lot of players would just go past the player, sprint off and score, whereas you couldn't do that because defenders were ridiculously quick for some reason. But this year you can do that, but through balls are less effective, I found, and the way you defend, you have to be, like, the defensive AI is a lot smarter at blocking passes and blocking shots, so you have to think about the way you attack more. It's a more measured game, I think, but I don't know, it just wasn't, it's always hard because it's a game where I have less than a week to play it and review it. And it's a game that people play for a whole year. And in 6 months, it might change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it could change after a patch. But
yeah, exactly.
You can only review what's put in front of you.
Exactly.
Like, that's the deal.
That's the thing. Like, little peep behind the curtain. Last year, I gave an 8.2. By Christmas, I played it quite a bit more. And I was like, I probably overscored this. But it's what happens because the game changes and you feel differently about things. But I don't know. My instant impressions this year is the main game is not as good, but Volta makes it worth getting just because you're getting a 6-hour campaign and you can play Volta online against other people. There's a lot of customization options.
And Volta is really fun as well because it definitely feels like it assists you with tricks a little bit more. Like,
yeah. Oh, 100%,
for people like myself, especially, and Joe as well, like, we're not as naturally gifted with the tricks as you are in FIFA, but it definitely felt like it sort of held my hand and like made it easier for me to
do
fancy
stuff. Really silly
it's
things.
In between FIFA and FIFA Street. Like, it's not as silly as FIFA Street was. It doesn't really encourage, you don't get skill points or points for doing tricks, and you're not really encouraged to use them that much because it is all about just winning the match. But they are fun to do when you just, especially if you're just playing as, like, you guys played a game, Blackburn versus Coventry. Like, players like Bradley Dack, very good player. He's not doing rainbow flicks over people's heads and doing bicycle kicks.
How dare
I mean,
you?
Of all the players to pick, Bradley Dack could do that.
Okay, mate.
I want Bradley Dack at Spurs, mate.
We played Celtic even versus Rangers.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, I had Scott Arfield doing that sort of stuff and then celebrates by doing like a cartwheel off of a chain fence.
Yeah, my favourite thing was, you're watching, what's your cough boy called?
Bakayoko
just doing a mad spin on a wall, doing parkour. And
my final point on FIFA, in Volta, you can get down on your knees and nod the ball in with your head.
Yes.
It's really good.
I said that was my final point. One more point.
Okay.
There's 17 different locations, like street arenas, cages, like beaches, depending on where you want to play in the world. On the London one, the MC, who's doing the commentating on the side of the cage, at one point said the words liquid football.
Nice.
So they get it.
Striker.
Yeah. A bit of, yeah.
I do want you
to
know,
if they'd actually got Alan Partridge in to do it, that would have been so much better.
I do want you to know, we are actually trying to chase that down as a story. Yeah. I want to get EA confirming that there's an Alan Partridge reference in FIFA this year.
Finally. About time. Get rid of Alan Smith.
Yeah.
Get rid of Lee Dixon. We want Gary Neville and Alan Partridge together.
Do you know who else needs fucking getting rid of?
Oh.
Claptrap.
Yeah.
Oh, he's incessant.
Fuck that stupid fucking character. And it's emblematic of everything wrong with the next game we're going to talk about, Borderlands 3.
So I recently, I know we're going to talk about Borderlands 3, but I recently tried playing Borderlands 2 again, and I forgot for the first hour of that game. He's just next to you and won't stop talking. Yeah. And Borderlands 3 opens exactly the same way, and I was like, oh, I'm having terrible deja vu.
They keep making jokes about how shit he is without realising that's not a joke.
No.
It's just annoying.
But some people love it.
No one likes Claptrap.
I don't like Claptrap, but I don't find him as irritating as just the general NPCs that you meet. Because I feel like, especially in Borderlands 3, like, I've probably played about, I don't know, 15 hours of Borderlands 3 now, and he isn't in it that much outside of the start.
Thank God.
But every other character you meet is annoying.
Yeah.
Like, they're all painfully unfunny. And I feel like with Borderlands 3 over 2, they've lent into the comedy even more. Yeah. It's like they've decided, all right, there's the Division and Destiny out there, so what have we got that's different? Comedy. Let's lean into that.
Bad sense of humour.
But it's like, a joke for 15 hours is not saying, look how bad at jokes we are. You can't say that for 15 hours and it becomes funny.
We're not saying that if you like Borderlands 3, you're wrong. I'm just saying that if you find it funny, you're wrong.
Because I've only played about an hour, but it does feel really good. It feels better than any Borderlands game, and the fact you have a skid is a massive bonus.
Oh, it's a skid where you can do full 360s while skidding as well. That's never been seen
before.
The guns
feel very good. The loop, it hasn't quite got me yet, but I can see it getting me again.
It is like absolutely. Like, I am in such a dilemma in this game because there's a lot of stuff about it I hate.
Well,
but there's that loop and the core mechanics of shooting. When I find a gun that I really like, that is so addictive that it just keeps pulling me back, and the chase for what can be the next gun I get has always been satisfying to me. But just the world, everything about the world. I've been like this for a while. Like, I was very anti Tales of the Borderlands. I know a lot of people love that game, but I thought that was just painfully unfunny
as
well.
I really like that. I don't know. I like the humour of that.
A counterpoint to all this, I think Borderlands 3 is shite. I've played enough of it to go, which is 45 minutes to go, I am not coming back to this game. It is a waste of my time.
Even if there is an option in the menus to turn dialogue all the way down to zero.
I don't find the weapon finding fun. I don't find, like, the feel of most of the guns I've tried, which, to be fair, is not that many. And I will let that, like, that's on me. But every gun I tried felt basically the same.
I do have the problem. I think it's just how my brain works that's the problem with this game, is that every single time I pick up a gun, I have to look at it, see if it's better, look at the stats. Like, that's not, because you're picking up a gun every 10 seconds sometimes.
You get better as you go into the game. You get better of, like, knowing your situations to stop, get rid of all those guns that have got a gear score lower than what you're, like, I always set myself a target, like, right, if it's, at the moment I'm like 250, anything below 250, immediately in the trash. Yeah. And that's just the system that I've been using.
Why in a game that promotes itself and having millions of guns can you only hold about 12?
And why is the inventory not fit for purpose? And why does nothing load?
I mean, you do buy expansions for that. Like, I think I've got a backpack of like 25 right now. So that is the thing. But, I mean, Joe, something you didn't get to experience, which is like one of the worst things in the game, I think, is just the UI in general, just the systems. Like, you didn't use much of like the fast traveling and things like that. It's so dated. It feels like a game from 6 years ago.
It doesn't... Well, at least on a PS4 Pro for me as well, it just doesn't run that well.
The performance is shocking.
Awful.
Every single time. And it's really that, and I had a similar thing with control freezing up a bit. It's really getting to that point now where I'm noticing we do need the PS5.
But control
soon.
At least freezes between moments.
You know exactly when control is going to freeze every time.
I was watching cutscenes, and a third of the cutscene, none of the textures had loaded. Yeah. It's like there's a bit where there's like a funny shot of a man's arse, and like, his ass was just a white cloud. Like,
that's not mine.
I'm not even laughing at a. I'm not even laughing at a funny ass. I'm just looking at a texture that hasn't worked yet. Show me the ass textures, Borderlands.
But I will say, I've only played an hour, and I'm always down. I've never been a fan of the Borderlands humour. I don't mind the art style. I've only had time on Pandora, so it just looks like Borderlands to me. I'm very interested to see what like the cities look like.
Right,
they look much more interesting.
So here's a thing. So Prometheus is the second planet you go to, and that definitely feels like comprehensive. Like there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
Although I think they've massively missold the idea of planets in this game. Like I've been to another planet called Athenas, one of them, and it's basically just a load of hallways that connect into like kill boxes. Mm-hmm. So there's no like extra loading areas. It's just one little section. Okay. It's basically like a new biome for what like they had in Borderlands. Like, you know, this is the swamp region. This is
well, it's like a Doom level.
Yeah. Like, and that's not a planet. Like, and I know like we've been spoiled these days with like No Man's Sky and Survivor for what like can constitute a planet. But I feel like I wanna see the ship land on this. I want it to feel more like an open world. And I think they've missold that.
One more negative.
Good.
Why there is a lot, in 2019 am I playing a game where I control a vehicle by pushing forward on the left stick and turning with the right stick?
Do you know what? That just sort of...
feels terrible.
Yeah, but I'm so used to it. I just jumped straight back in and it became exactly what it was.
It just reminds
me of Accelerate with R2 should be every single car game.
Well, you can shoot though as well.
But... It reminds me of Halo Warthogs, and I'm fine with that.
Mm. Why can't I turn with the left and right stick? To me, that's never felt right, and I never liked it. But the shooting does feel as
Joe, like, I know you're not going to give it another shot.
No,
I've
got too much else.
But I do think judging it on its opening 45 minutes guns is not the best. Like, I remember being dissatisfied with guns at the start as well, and now I've got a couple that I haven't given one up for about 4 hours because I love this gun. Yeah. And there's a lot of variety, like all the manufacturers, they all have different abilities, like I think it's the T-Door ones, where you can throw, and they not only do they become sometimes a grenade, but sometimes they become a little walking turret.
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes there's all sorts
of
different
things.
Are
they the ones that... like teleport back into your hands when you reload and stuff. Yeah. Like, I like that stuff. So that's Borderlands fun stuff.
It was in Borderlands 2, but now they've extended it. But it used to just be a grenade, and now it can be all sorts of different things. There's ones that have like shields on by default. There's ones that like reload in different kind of ways. There's some that are like charge weapons. Immediately get rid of them. Don't want a charge weapon. I want it to be automatic.
I do want to give it more time, and I want to play it with some friends who are maybe in the same sort of position. Just kind of. Because we played together, but only for like half an hour. Like, I want like one, like 3 hour session where I give it a proper go. Don't get distracted.
I was playing it last night, and I was actively thinking, I don't know if I want to play this with other people, because what I like about Borderlands is but also I like stopping and taking my time to look through my guns and stuff, and I just don't know if you play with people,
you have
that patience.
People up,
absolutely. I feel like I'm just got to catch up with everybody, got to get back into position for where we need to be. So I mean, and I play it as Flak as well, so it's like having two people playing anyway. You've always got your beast with you, so it feels like a two player game at that point anyway.
And like I said, the shooting feels good. I love a good shooter. I like shooting things.
Well, yeah, I would like to point out, that's not me with my reviewer's hat on, the 45 minutes and I'm done thing. I just have too much on, and I find it boring.
Me too. I want to properly give Divinity Original Sin 2 a go on the Switch. I've also got Ni No Kuni, the first one, on the Switch. Mm-hmm. I've got too many RPGs to play.
Still haven't finished Fire Emblem. I've got Astral Chain.
Oh, my word.
A lot came out
probably
today.
Probably play some more FIFA.
Oh, my God. There's so much going on.
You've got to play The Last of Us as well.
Yeah, I do.
Well, then that's on worst time. Right.
We can build that into my schedule. That's fine. Dale, what the hell is the island?
Well, first, I've noticed on the running order,
I changed it
wrong.
I changed it already, but it went back to an older version.
It is I-land.
Yeah. That's what I said. The island. Yeah,
not the Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson
film.
Do you know what? I don't mind that film, especially as a Michael Bay property.
Okay. Are they clones in that?
Don't spoil it.
Is that a twist?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was the whole point.
I can't remember now if it's a twist.
I feel like in 2019 you'd watch a film and immediately know that's the twist.
I think it's a fairly early on twist if it is one. I don't think that's a terrible film.
Anyway.
Well, we've spoiled the island with Ewan McGregor, but we're not going to, at least now, spoil the island.
Right now, I'm not going to spoil it, but I might potentially in a little bit.
Yeah,
here's
we'll
how
talk
we go.
There'll be warning.
So, I first saw the island pop up. Regular listeners might know that I like a TV show called Lost. I like it very much. I have a tattoo of Lost on my arm. And my honeymoon was arranged to go visit locations that were filmed for Lost.
And your wedding invitations were Lost themed as well.
And you have the temerity to regularly call me a nerd.
Yeah. It's fair to say I like this TV show.
A little secret, you've never watched it.
I just love hatches.
So I saw a tweet from, I think it was on a tweet, from Damon Lindelof, who's a creator of Lost, who said he'd been served the island on Netflix saying, you might like this. And I thought, that's funny. What is the show? Went and looked at it. It looks like Lost. It's a setup for Lost, right? There's a bunch of people who have woken up on an island, on a mysterious island, right?
On an island.
Obviously, I have to give this a chance. I have to watch the show. I saw it was only a 7-episode miniseries as well. And I thought, okay, let's give this a watch. And first impressions, And final impressions are, it is not a good TV show. In fact, I go as far as to say it is a bad TV show.
Is it a Netflix original?
I believe so. I mean, in the UK, sometimes they have it where they're shown in the US.
It might be like The Sinner, where
I think
it's
I watched the trailer thing. And it looked quite cheap for a Netflix show.
It's cheap as fuck.
It must be bought.
That's the thing, though. Like, there's no known actors in the whole show. Yeah. The cast are all like, they're quite poor. The dialogue is really bad. There were several occasions I was just watching it. I was like, you could have simplified that line so much. I was constantly had my sort of writer's hat on when I was watching this thing. And it's got a major twist. And the major twist happens at the end of the second episode. And then, to be fair, there is a final twist as well, which I'll divulge. And I might come back to this twist later because I wrote a film 5 years ago and I made this film. It's available on the internet. And they stole my twist.
What's it called?
What's my film called? Yeah. Citizen is my film.
Citizen Island.
Citizen Island, no. Obviously, they didn't steal my twist, right? We obviously had the same thought. Mm. But when it started happening, I was like, this feels familiar. Mm-hmm. And then it got more and more into it and they revealed more elements of the twist. And I'm like, looked at my wife and I was like, this is a piss take. this is my story. And she just had the tomatoes like, no one's seen your little film.
What's funny is you're now describing the plot of Secret Window with Johnny Depp. You stole my story.
It gets even worse.
Have you not seen Secret
what
Window?
What was that accent?
It's John Turturro in that film. He does it. He's like, you stole my story.
So, obviously, I want to tell people what the twist is, but we don't want to ruin it. In case you're mad and you want to watch Ireland, and let me tell you, someone has watched all 7 episodes, don't waste your time. But oh, by the way, yeah, did I explain what the show was?
Yeah, it's like
People on Ireland.
Yeah.
Well,
People on
Ireland. It wishes it was Lost.
The Ireland.
Yes. I mean, if you can't work out what the twist is, elements of the twist is from that title alone.
You would have thought it would have been an Apple original show.
Mm. Anyway, what we'll do is, after feedback, we'll come back to this and I will tell you what the twist is in the island, and then right in front of me, I have the script for my story, and then we'll do a read through.
I'm so excited.
We'll see what we think.
It's like when Quentin Tarantino does read throughs of his films.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be torn apart and I'm going to lose all confidence in writing ever again.
People will be like, holy shit, Citizen. I've got to go and find it on Vimeo, presumably.
It is on Vimeo.
Of course it's on Vimeo.
And it has won awards, I want to say.
Award-winning film.
Yes.
Lovely. I would love if we read yours and just go, Dale, that's just the plot of Fight Club. You stole on that from someone else.
Can I give you one tiny tease before we go? Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil Ireland.
Yeah.
There is also a character in the show called Donovan. They absolutely have done me.
The island. They just know. It's a massive piss take. Yeah. You're actually the subject of another TV show where they're watching you lose your mind.
Oh my God, that's a script idea. I'm going to write that.
That's
down.
Good.
Welcome to my two. Show. That's the Truman Show. You can't keep stealing.
Oh shit, yeah, they got there before me on this occasion.
They. Big Hollywood.
So let's come back to that in a bit.
Yeah, after The Endless Search.
Inside. It's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, on the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we're coming through. Yeah, on the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
Right. I, last night, had the pleasure and privilege of attending the 5th birthday party of a board game company called Big Potato Games.
They gave you a tattoo as well. I can see it on your arm right now.
It says, I'm a potato on it. It's nice.
Very sick.
And Big Potato Games are great. They make... we talked about Don't Get Got.
Yeah. That ended well.
Don't Get Got ruined our Christmas party last year. But it is because it's a good game.
It's really good.
Although... really cool, we came up with a rule that we thought should be in it, and they've since patched it into the game. New printings have our rule in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's true. I can't remember what the rule was, but we came up with something where we were like, it's if you catch someone trying to get you, they have to discard that card, they lose that
that's
card.
That's right, yeah.
That's now in the rules because of
any
us.
Of the money
so
from
I,
that.
I bought that game for Christmas to play at a New Year's Eve party, so have I got an original? Is that worth money?
First pressing. Yeah. And I like Big Potato Games. They do cool stuff. If you follow like this little no mark YouTube channel called RKG.
They're doing a series,
or they've just finished a two-part series on a game called Clask, which is another Big Potato game, or at least it's distributed by that. It's well worth watching. Very good little series. Good luck to them.
I think there's some middle-aged penis in there.
There is some serious middle-aged penis.
Yeah.
Mate.
Hello.
There is some dick in that video.
Like and subscribe.
I watched that on YouTube and I thought, that probably should probably have been blurred a bit heavier.
Because it doesn't really count as a mosaic when it's just the pixels of a dick. fair play to them. It's going close to the wind.
I'd rather they went down that way.
Yeah. What's your Adu gauge of mosaic? Like, how many pixels are we talking for it's when it's mosaic?
Because everything is pixels.
If you really break it down.
The problem is
you don't
want one big pixel where the head of the dick is, because then it's just a square head of a dick. Yeah. Like, I think it's just, you know, it just ended up that way. Okay. I like it. Anyway, we've gotten off the point, which is the Big Potato games are good, and as I left, they gave me a little game called Mr. Lister's Quiz Shootout. And I thought we could play a bit of Mr. Lister's Quiz Shootout, or at least, you know, a shortened version thereof.
Who's Mr. Lister?
He's this guy with a moustache.
Not the Red Dwarf themed.
I need to open this, though, so excuse me for
I like a good quiz.
Yeah, I know you do. Mr. Lister's Quiz Shootout is essentially you get a topic. So in this case, it's 12 European countries border the Mediterranean Sea.
Jesus.
List them.
Wow.
I wasn't even listening.
I
drifted off.
And I've got all 12.
Cyprus.
Correct. And that's actually a very good answer, because there are starred answers.
Not doing that one now. Okay.
There are starred Greece. Answers Sorry. Where you get an extra impossible question that earns you more points.
Okay.
Right? Ooh. So if you said Cyprus, you'd get a point for that, and then you'd get a chance to answer the last chance saloon question.
What's the population of Cyprus or something like that?
In meters, how deep is the deepest part of the Mediterranean Sea?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But I don't know how we'll really reckon with that. I haven't read the rules. That's the problem. I only opened it as we came into the room.
Are we doing with the best answer wins?
Well,
we just give them one each?
I think what they say here is very short. Mr. Lister reads out a question to both teams. For example, the 9 ingredients in a Whopper. List them. Both teams now get a few seconds to write down as many answers as they can. Then it's shootout time. First team fires off an answer, e.g. lettuce. If it's on the cards, they score a hit, and Mr. Lister, ticks it off the card. If it's wrong, it's a miss.
Okay.
Now it's the other team's turn to fire off an answer and try to score a hit or a miss. Back to the first team, blah, blah, blah. Team with the most hits wins the card. If it's a draw, then both teams are in the last chance saloon. Anyway, I don't really understand the rest of the rules.
So it's a little bit like Go On Name, but we're not bidding, we're just taking turns.
Yeah. So let's just do a test round.
Okay.
Yeah?
Oh, so this one doesn't count.
This one doesn't count. Okay. Let's just try it.
Right. Okay.
This is... Oh, this is quite good. The 8 best-selling butter brands in Sainsbury's, not including own brands.
Whoa, are we talking butter? It's margarine?
Butter. Yeah.
Just butter.
What about...
Do you want to go... You can go first.
No.
What?
There are non-butter things on here. So butter and marge... And butter substitutes.
Flora.
Okay. Oh, you go first, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. Flora's on there.
Clover.
Clover's on there.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah, it's now called I Can't Believe It's So Good.
What?
Yeah.
Can I go with Sainsbury's own brand?
He said
not including own brands.
Sorry. Bertolli.
Correct.
I cannot think of another brand of butter.
There's two very easy ones you both missed.
Yeah, I always buy Flora.
Little man with a trombone.
That means Philadelphia is not a thing.
No.
I have no idea.
Lurpak.
Yeah, I do know that one.
Anchor.
Yep.
It's spreadable. Anchor's spreadable.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And then there's also Kerrygold and Country Life.
But I
Can't Believe It's So Good was a starred one, so you technically got something. I don't really understand. They're meant to be the harder ones.
We just play it. We take turns
until we take turns until you can't get one.
Okay.
And let's just play it like that.
It's a shootout.
Let's just do five of them.
Let's have fun.
Just random ones.
Let's do that one again.
No, I'm going to try some. Oh, I quite like this one.
Just random.
This is interesting.
Ooh, here we go. Who's going first?
Joe can decide. What are you doing?
I was going to flip a pack of cards, but it's going to be really loud. Dale goes first.
There we go, done.
There are 10 board games that have sold more copies than any other, not including this one. List them.
All right. Monopoly.
Correct.
What, are we taking it in turns?
Yeah.
Connect Four.
Wrong.
They're not counting that as a board game, are they?
That's not a board game.
There you go.
Kind of
does
is.
Does that mean I win?
Yeah, by our terms it is.
Kind of
I
is.
I should point out the Mr. Lister game actually has more rules than this and is probably more fun.
Can
I get, just like
can
the
we get some more?
Yeah. Keep going.
Cluedo.
Cluedo's
or
on there.
Clue if it's American.
Cluedo's on there.
Scrabble.
Crabble's on there.
The Game of Life.
Wrong.
That was a bold one.
Risk, Pictionary, yeah. Trivial Pursuit, Cluedo, Monopoly, Scrabble, Checkers, Chess, Othello, and Backgammon.
Because
You've got to think they've sold more
brand.
In history.
Yeah.
Backgammon probably sold names. Loads a while ago.
I fucked it.
Ooh, these ones are yellow. Why are they yellow? Let's do them. It's different, isn't it?
Probably should have looked at the rules.
Yeah, probably should have.
Nah. Come on, boys.
Pick random ones.
Oh, this one's weird.
Okay.
There are eight ingredients.
All over again.
Shut up. There are eight ingredients in Little Chef's Olympic breakfast.
What?
List them.
I've never Little eaten a Little Chef.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can probably
I've been
guess,
to that Heston Blumenthal Little Chef.
Am I first?
Yeah.
Baked beans.
Yes, beans are on there. They're not. Okay. It doesn't say baked.
What is it? Olympic breakfast.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Bacon's on there.
Eggs.
Eggs on there.
Sausage.
Sausage on there.
Toast.
Toast is on there.
Tomato.
Tomatoes on there. We've got two more.
Mushrooms.
Yeah. You've got one more and it's the hardest one.
Fuck. I want to say black pudding, but is that too bold?
Is that too bold?
Well, what's an Olympic breakfast? I don't know what that means. If it's British breakfast. Fuck it. Black pudding.
Sauteed potatoes.
Oh, I never got that. No. I was going to go hash brown. That wouldn't have been close enough.
See, now it's exciting. We're getting into
it. It's 1-0.
Oh, this one's probably going to upset people, so okay. Let's go for it.
What?
The 12 greatest British sitcoms according to whatculture.com.
What culture? Why are they referencing them?
Well, it's according to them.
Okay.
See first,
reference IGN. Right. 12 British sitcoms. Mm-hmm. Fawlty Towers.
Fawlty Towers, number one.
Dad's Army.
Yeah.
The Office.
Yeah.
Peep Show.
Yeah.
Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's one on here that's mad.
I'm Alan Partridge.
No.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's not a sitcom in the traditional sense.
Yes, it is. Is the madness that is Dinner Ladies on there.
Dinner Ladies is not on there.
I feel like that was in our top 25 list.
Was it? It wasn't.
Or was on the short list. Or was it absolutely fabulous?
One Foot in the Grave.
Fab was on there.
Okay.
One Foot in the Grave.
Not on there.
Father Ted.
Not on there.
What is this list?
Rising Damp.
Not on there.
What?
Blackadder.
Not on there, and there's a reference
family.
There. My family's the mad one.
Fuck off.
Why is my family on there? Zoe Wanamaker.
Who's not having Alan Partridge?
The others were Extras, Gavin and Stacey.
That's just good.
Last of the Summer Wine.
You said Last Samurai.
the last Samurai with Tom Cruise.
You know the bit when he's in a bathtub going down the hill? And the Last Samurai?
Open all Hours, The IT Crowd, and The Inbetweeners.
The IT Crowd.
Shit, we having that. Fun?
What
do you want more?
What culture? Fuck off. What culture? No culture, more like.
Smash. Oh.
2-1 to Dale.
That's a shot across the bows. There are 10 social networks used more than any other. Listen.
Okay. Facebook.
First? Oh, you're first then, apparently.
Yeah, he's going first. Facebook, yeah.
Is it of all time or currently? What does it mean?
Didn't say.
Okay, Twitter.
Yes.
MySpace.
Ooh. No.
It's not all time then. Yeah. What's this fuck?
LinkedIn.
No LinkedIn.
There
what?
Should be more stipulations.
Instagram.
Insta's on there.
Does Snapchat count as social network?
It does not, according to this.
All right.
But then there's a match. Like, YouTube's on it.
Oh,
that's not a social network.
That's an invalid question.
Reddit, Pinterest, Tumblr, Reddit. And then the big ones. Qzone. Weibo, which is the Chinese one.
Oh, Chinese.
And then Ask FM.
I don't know. I think Reddit was more of a forum site than a social network.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Not SoundCloud.
Oh, I like
not
this.
Not Habbo Hotel.
Here we go. Here's a good one.
Is that 3-1 to you?
Yeah, it
3-1. Is. It's playing for pride.
Valid question.
You'll love this one, Dale. That's very much up your street.
All right.
There are 10 Disney princesses who are real princesses.
What?
I.e., their mum and dad were king and queen.
Oh, so they weren't based on real.
They're not based on real.
So they're not actually real.
No.
Okay.
To be fair to them, there are inverted commas around real.
Okay.
So their mum and dad were king and queen, and they are a princess of them.
Okay.
Dale, go ahead.
Sleeping Beauty. Was she a princess?
Does she have a different name?
Oh, I don't know. I'll skip that one. Okay, and I'll say Elsa from Frozen.
Correct.
Jasmine.
Jasmine's on there.
Fuck. I can think of Prince.
I should say we are including the one from Brave. CG and Pixar.
Yeah,
CG.
The one from Brave, whatever her name was. Oh, I can't remember her name.
I think that's good enough.
Yeah,
okay. Merida.
There we
go. That's good enough.
Yeah, that's fine. That's clever. And that's one of the two starred ones.
You said Jasmine, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Snow White?
Snow White's on there.
Cinderella's not. Is she Cinderella?
Yes.
Your face told me that. I feel like one of them. Yeah, because it's the mother and father aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's quite a good question.
Yeah,
Disney.
You still
Disney.
Going? Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah,
some obvious ones.
Yeah, there are.
Oh. I wonder if that's a trick one. I've never actually seen the film. So.
Mother, may I?
It's kind of first though.
Can't remember the name.
What's a film?
No. Ariel.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That was my next
King
one.
Titan. Come on.
That was my next one as well. I'm feeling ones that aren't human beings. What ones have we got? What about? Fuck. Is Pocahontas a?
If they're allowing that.
Pocahontas, I'll say that.
Is on there. The other star.
Yes.
Not a princess.
They think
you have no respect for other cultures. Wow. Not your Western hegemonic version of a king and queen, maybe.
I've just thought of another one as well. Okay. Let's keep going.
There's an obvious one you're missing based on the answers you've already given, but.
Really?
Oh, and I've just thought of another one, but I actually don't think
you're
I
an absolute
one.
Princess queen.
I'm just thinking of what my niece. The princess queen.
Yeah.
Yes, queen. I'm just thinking what my niece is what.
I'm going blank.
Daddy films can't think of any films.
Disney on, ones. Mate. Esmeralda.
No. Wrong.
Mulan?
Mulan's not on here.
Oh.
She's not a princess.
I've never seen it, so I don't know. And wow. The other one I was thinking of was the girl from Tangled, whatever her name is.
Rapunzel.
Rapunzel's there on go. There. I mean, you also said Elsa, but not Anna, who's the sister in the thing.
Yeah, I suppose.
And Aurora, who I think is Sleeping Beauty, but...
Okay.
Who knows her as Aurora? That's Matt.
That's right.
Well, there you go. That's Mr. Lister. I enjoyed it, personally.
It's good fun.
But these two ruined it.
I just like... stipulations in my questions.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that one was...
That one's a perfectly valid one.
I think the most
Pocahontas, who's
yeah.
not a princess.
Well, we'll talk about your xenophobia later on. The tribunal.
I'm not having that
right, let's do some feedback, shall we?
Yeah, do you want to hand it out?
I can do that. There you go. Bang.
Okay. Do you want to, who's first?
It's Dale.
It says one. Dale. This is from David Stepney. Howdy, IGN big boys. With the news of Games Master possibly returning to our screens, who would you love to see hosting it? And as the disembodied head of the Games Master himself or herself, and is there anything that would tempt you to appear as a guest reviewer or a contestant?
I'll tell you what would tempt me.
I'll do it. I'll be the head. Why not? Everyone's asking for it.
You would be... You're very much a new age Patrick Moore.
You actually are.
Stick some cyborg...
There's a vibe of Patrick Moore going on.
Stick some cyborg bits on you and you'd be perfect. Young Games Master back from the dead.
I'll just be going, what do you want?
Games what Master do you want? Prequel.
Do you think our audience knows about IGN UK's connection to Games Master from the past?
I don't think I know the connection to
you
Games
do.
Master.
You do.
Was I on it?
Alex Simmons was on it.
Was he?
As a young
was he a guest reviewer?
Have you not seen the picture?
There's a picture behind him.
Oh, is
you
that what that's from?
You sit him every yeah. day.
I didn't know that was from Games Master.
Ah, what did he speak about? He came on to do opinions on maybe a Sonic game or something like that. The clip's on YouTube as well. You can find
superb.
It. Yeah.
I would be tempted to be a reviewer for money. That's what would tempt me if they paid me a king's ransom.
Who do we
I didn't
actually
even
think,
know it was coming back.
Who do we actually think could be the head?
The big head these days, who's
if
like
it's not
you
me.
Need someone senior who's got an air of authority.
But I think these days you can't get away from the fact that people actually do respect games. So you can't just have Patrick Moore being I don't know what's bloody going on.
It'd be fucking Darrow O'Brien hosting it, wouldn't it?
That, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
He's fine.
You know what I'd like?
He does every game show.
Yeah, he does.
Rogue Shout. Tom Watson, deputy leader of the Labour Party.
What?
He's well into games. Is he? I believe he's a big Fallout fan. A ledge. I like him quite a bit. But yeah, I reckon he'd be great. Yeah. He's got a sense of humour. Who'd be good host? Not Dara O'Brien.
A good host.
Are there any good hosts?
Good on TV.
You know what?
I don't know.
Craig Charles, give him the job.
Yeah,
Come on.
Yeah, why not?
Gary Neville.
He hasn't lifted his arms and shouted Activate for ages.
I would actually love to see Gary Neville hosting it. And he's got his big iPad, giant iPad, and he's doing drawing tactics
Neville
on it.
And Cara. Those two having squabbles over the best way to get down that Mario mountain. That would be great. I'd be well interested in Games Master coming back because it would either be great or a shit show, and either way would be fun.
The latter.
Yeah, probably. Got a long one for you, boys. Do you remember when we were talking about the best sci-fi TV shows and we couldn't think of anything that wasn't The Leftovers?
Lost.
Expanse, wasn't it?
It is sci-fi, mate.
I thought we were talking about The Expanse.
That's what I meant. The Expanse. What did I say?
The Leftovers.
Oh, someone else.
That's supposed to be really good.
Someone else wrote in about The Leftovers. Well done to him. I didn't include your email.
Also created by Damon Lindelof.
What?
No.
Well, here's a little one that you might be interested in for another Losty reason.
Okay. The Island.
This is from Adam.
No. Plagiarising bastards.
This is from Adam Strawn. He says, hello, lovelies.
Hello.
He says some nice things. And then he says, last week you talked about your favourite sci-fi shows, and I thought I'd throw mine in for consideration, which is the TV show Fringe.
Oh, I've seen Fringe.
For anyone who isn't aware, Fringe ran from 2008 to 2013 and is an incredible piece of science fiction from co-creator J.J. Abrams.
Mm,
there you go.
I've heard of him.
Fringe was taking us on a stylized pseudoscience adventure with a mad but genius and lovable scientist, Walter, a talented con man with an estranged relationship to his genius father, Peter. A lot of geniuses
it's
in
not
this.
About hairdressers. Though.
And an FBI agent with a mysterious past and a badass determination.
Is it Joshua Jackson?
Olivia,
Peter, I think.
I don't know.
I want to say it was.
Isn't Lance Reddick in this?
Yes.
I like Lance Reddick.
Yeah.
If this cocktail of amazing characters isn't already enough to pique your interest, then the amazing production values and engrossing, enigmatically wrapped storylines would certainly draw you into the world of Fringe.
Does he work for the studio?
Adam Strawn is a... this is why I haven't redacted anything from this email, because I think Adam Strawn's got a real flair.
Is that
real
what the JJ and JJ Abrams stands for?
What?
Adam Strawn.
That's weird. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
He goes on to tell us about the...
It was Joshua Jackson, sorry.
Good on him.
Yeah.
He's going for the mystery... He talks about the mystery of the week formula and the overarching narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to redact a bit because I realise we're running short on time. But what I really liked, and I didn't know about this, is one final thing to mention. Fringe had an amazing advertising campaign backing it. The show contains mysterious characters called the Observers who are seen in the background of most episodes. The lead Observer actor was also seen outside of Fringe in the audience of various TV shows such as American Idol, as well as in footage of the NFL and NASCAR.
It's cool, right?
It's so weird. I love that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Adam Strawn says, much love. And then he says, P.S. Joe, I'm from Newcastle and you're right. It's fucking incredible up here.
I went on a stag to Newcastle, one of the best stag days I've ever been on.
I love Newcastle. Brilliant. It's a genius place. Yeah.
I've only ever been once.
I watched first two seasons of Fringe, and I find it hard to really get into in the first season because of that sort of monster of the week form.
Yeah.
And then once it started changing, I did enjoy it more, but I just drifted off.
I think that's his point, is that Monster of the Week was fine, but it really kicks in when it becomes like a big conspiracy, which is the opposite of The X-Files, which is only good when it's Monster of the Week.
Mm.
There we go. I've got a piece of feedback from Andrew Lynch. He says, hi all.
Hello.
Hello.
There we go. After listening to last week's podcast and hearing you say that the wheelies freaked you out, it's not Return to Oz that I thought of, but the classic children's TV show, Chorlton and the Wheelies.
Mm.
No one I talk to remembers
that...
this,
no,
but let me explain it. I know what it is because my dad showed me it when I was younger, so I've seen a bit of this.
Shit. Okay.
And it is quite frightening. But Andrew explains to us what it is here. There is a Yorkshire happiness dragon that lives with a town of people who have wheels instead of feet or legs.
Jesus Christ.
They are hounded by the evil Welsh witch Fenella, who has a spell book that talks with a German accent and a telescope that talks with an Irish accent. Haven't thought about that show for years, but since reminded about it, watched a few episodes again and laughed my head off at how bizarre it was. Thanks for the reminder. Are there any obscure children's shows that you remember that no one else knows about? And Joe is sort of correct. In the Amber Spyglass... This is the only reason you put this in.
No, I put it in because I wanted to read out this mad bullshit TV show.
In the Amber Spyglass, there is a species that hold wheels with their front and back legs and use their side legs to move at speed.
I knew it. Just wheel
love the
creatures.
Show. Keep it up.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of Chortle and the Wheels. I don't remember it that well, but I definitely... I remember, the VHS box. And I remember, being quite odd.
What about children's TV shows that you think other people have forgotten?
Ooh.
We were watching a lot of Round the Twist the other day.
Yes,
I
fucking love Round the Twist.
I think everyone remembers the theme tune, but not what that show actually was.
Oh, I do. I remember it.
Well, I know you do.
Do you remember the full theme tune, or do you remember just the one?
I know the one bit. Have you ever? Ever felt like this when strange things happen? Are you going round the twist? That is... earworm material.
And in the end it goes around the twirl.
But there were some great episodes of that. The gum leaf war was good. The scarecrow is terrifying.
Yeah.
The one where Bronson can piss 50 foot.
I thought you meant like Charles Bronson.
Was there one where there was like a mirror universe or something? There was a mirror in their attic and there was like other versions of themselves.
There was that one.
Australians are mental.
Yeah, it was so good. And for a kid's show, it was quite dark at times. Yeah.
Actually, that's one. You didn't remember this the other day. Mm. Aquila. Did you ever watch Aquila?
No, I said no. I did remember.
Oh, okay. Someone said it. It was some kids discover a Roman special time travel machine.
What?
But it's like a big gold bike. It's really weird.
Oh my god, that's
Aquila.
Bizarre. Yeah.
I have every episode around on DVD.
That is mad.
Can I borrow that?
I might have.
I think they're all on YouTube.
I think.
Oh, I might actually watch a couple of episodes on my commute tonight.
You know what?
They're like 22-minute episodes, right?
Imagine seeing you and then going, oh, I wonder, you know, doing that thing on a commute where you just look at whatever anyone else is doing and they're just like, it's a fucking Round the Twist. This old man's rewatching Round the Twist.
Steady on. I mean, this old man.
You're too old for Round the Twist, is my point.
No, I'm the right age. I was around when I was a kid.
Not now anymore.
Kids are not watching Round the Twist. Who's watching Round the Twist on YouTube? It's people the same age as me, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be on the train watching Chorn and the Wheelies.
Coward. That's the end of the feedback. And now what we're going to do, instead of music, like we usually do, we're going to go into spoiler zone for The Island. And, more specifically, spoiler zone for award-winning short Vimeo film, Just Citizen.
It's Just Citizen, yeah.
By Dale Clive Driver.
I'm very... Was it like Citizen? It's not my middle name on this production.
Well, like the eyes, ones. That's how I'm imagining it.
No, but there was something I did do with the logo to sort of hint at something from what I remember. Anyway, I'll get into that in a bit.
Okay.
So if you don't want The Island spoiled... off now.
Yeah, I'm going to spoil The Island. No one should really care that much. But here we go. So, before I do it, what do you guys think it is?
I have no idea.
Do you not think The Island gives it
I
a hint?
I think that they're all in a simulation on this island.
Bingo. Oh, like I as in iMac.
Like a digital fucking island.
I would go with E-Land.
So, like...
The E-Land.
Yeah. Welcome to the E-Land.
So you find out at the end of the second episode that it's actually a digital simulation.
Right.
That's not the... Obviously, that's not what I'm accusing them of, because there's lots of examples of that. What I'm accusing them of is... So what you find out is they're actually all prisoners. And the reason they're on this island is as a form of like rehabilitation, is to see if they will, like, it's a nature versus nurture thing, to see if they strip away all their memories, and if they commit the same sort of crime, then they say it's inside them, they're on death row, they're dying.
Right.
That's
another thing that's like this.
It's not Citizen.
It's something else.
And basically, there's another twist at the end where you find out she's got a digital avatar and she's actually been in prison for 25 years.
It's basically a bit like the White Bear episode of Black Mirror.
It is a bit like White Bear.
Ah, yes. There is elements of that. Which came out before Citizen.
Oh, did it? I was going to say, did Charlie Brooker rip you off as well?
Right. But, yes. I have a paper here that was written 2014 that proves I had the exact same idea. And I've made it.
I saw you type this earlier.
Mate, the film exists. Go and look on the date. Go and look at the date. That's all I've got to say.
Absolutely furious.
How do you want to do this? Because this is...
I'm not reading the whole script.
Yes. It's 15 minutes.
Oh, let's do it.
No, I'm not reading the whole
because it's quite dark and I don't want you to take the piss out of my dialogue.
Can I at least scan read a few bits before we start?
Okay.
You look at the other one. Whilst you're looking for where we should start, I'll read some excerpts.
Oh, we haven't got one. It's just you two.
Citizen,
brilliant.
10th draft.
There's a lot of Dale internal Driver. Monologue, all right?
It's got his Gmail address on there.
Don't read it out.
I'm reading bits out.
What sort of setting are we thinking here?
Okay, so it's sci-fi, right? Yeah. They're on a vessel, space vessel.
Okay.
Okay, it's two astronauts that are working there. They're just on a cargo transport sort of situation. And then all of a sudden at the start, a warning goes off. Something's hit.
Fuck me.
Something major's going down. And you've got a countdown where the oxygen supply is depleting.
Ugh.
And what they're realizing is there's not going to be enough oxygen for both of them to survive. So then it's them trying to solve the situation.
Always
that
happens.
Is the pitch of the film.
Okay.
Right?
You have 40 minutes, John. You owe, we owe you that much. Think about what's best. Do the right thing this time. You'll thank me for it.
So is it John
Do you wish
who?
I was in it?
John and Isaac.
Isaac.
Isaac spelt cool as well, like Chris Isaac.
It's actually a Russian spelling, because I was very much going for the American and the Russian. There was a subtext.
Oh, so can I play Isaac? Can I do it in...
What?
Can I play Isaac? Can I do it in a Russian accent?
If you want to, the actor did.
We all make mistakes, John.
He wasn't that bad.
I'm truly sorry about that. About this. But it's for the best.
Everything's for the best.
Yes. Yeah. That's right at the end, by the way. So that's leading up to where the
can
end
I be
is.
John?
Maybe we should go from when... So it's all kicking off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got the ship is warning that your oxygen is going to deplete soon.
Fucking hell.
Okay,
what,
right?
What page are we on?
I'm just trying... So page 8, we've got the oxygen tank B reaches depletion in 60 seconds. So this is like the final confrontation. They're trying to work out what to do.
So what are we in...
The final
cockpit.
Confrontation
ship,
on page
yeah, actually,
eight.
No, ship hallway. I told you, 15-minute film. Also, I love its monologue and stuff.
Oh, I love its slow landscape.
Okay, so actually...
It's very Terrence Malick.
Do you want to put it on the table? Because I need to... I'll read the directions
read
and you
so
read
where
the,
are we starting
so
from?
So if you be John, Caddy.
Okay.
And then Joe can be Isaac.
Yeah.
So if you... I'll start from here. So the oxygen tank B reaches depletion in 60 seconds.
Listen to you. What I wanted...
That's a scoff.
The ship's countdown alerts at 30 seconds. During the dialogue, John is becoming more and more irate and looks fit to burst. Isaac gets right into John's face. John begins to get edgy and nervous.
Now, sorry, I just want to get my motivation here. This is a space thing. When you say he's fit to burst, is that literal? Is he got,
no,
has he got all aliens in
it's
him?
It's not literal. He just, it's the pressure of the whole situation with the warning
right,
alarm
he's fit
going
to
off.
Burst.
Yeah.
Okay. You're unstable. You can't be trusted anymore. And I want to suck your blood. And you need to be tested, John. Can you do what's right?
John begins to slip into his claustrophobic panic attack. He starts to breathe heavily and closes his eyes.
Get away from me.
You don't sleep right. You don't think straight. You keep telling me I'm a different person. Well, look at this. A shell of a man. A pathetic, warped, gutless coward who's too spineless to...
The siren begins to intensify. John's eyes open and he snaps. He lunges for Isaac and begins to strangle him intensely.
Ooh.
Oxygen tank B depletes in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's over.
The room fills with a bright white light as in, and an emergency noise. John looks around confused and lets go of Isaac. Suddenly, two men storming in through the white light and grab him by the arms. Isaac gets up whilst coughing.
Take him back to where he belongs. I knew this wouldn't work.
While John is being dragged away...
That's not me doing a Russian accent. It's told me to change accent.
Yeah, he changes his accent. There's a reason. While John is being dragged away, he overhears Isaac distantly.
It's not a lot for John to do.
The citizen program is a failure. The subject attempted to re-offend.
John internally is triggered by the word citizen. He has flashes to being in a cell and being offered the program. You can do the man in the suit, can't you?
Yeah.
In jail cell flashbacks.
He's American, by the way, the man in the suit.
Yes, please.
We'll recreate the exact conditions of your crime, Mr. Bryan. Your memory will be wiped clean. Our psychotherapy has a 96% rate, success rate. We just need to evaluate you're not in the 4% before we allow you back into our society.
That's actually surprisingly close to what the accent is in the film.
It was me.
Here we go. You're back to John.
Back into the spacecraft living quarters.
Isaac, what's going on?
Isaac leans into John's face and gently speaks down to him. He has a very different, sterner
demeanor.
I can't even say my own script.
You tried to kill me, John, just like the real Isaac.
Quick flash, exterior space opening scene flashback. Quick flash to the man in the airspace opening scene. You now see John pulling an airlock release lever. The astronaut's dialogue is now a lot more audible.
Please help me, John!
Back to John.
I don't understand.
You don't deserve to understand, citizen.
Cut to black.
Fucking hell. Yeah. One absolute roller coaster. That's just the end.
I didn't know your mind was such a pit of darkness.
Yeah. So there you go. That's proof. Proof. I think the bit I have a scene. So you see in the scene, he's actually sitting in prison, mm-hmm. and there's a guy presenting him with the opportunity, saying your memory's going to be wiped clean. Mm. We just got to reevaluate that you're fit to go back into society.
What a stunning radio play!
I don't want to start a mob or anything like it. Yeah. But if you do find Citizen on Vimeo, get that link and spam Netflix with it and tell them they owe Dale Driver money.
Next week we'll be reading a script I wrote when I was 15.
Nice. So I wrote that when I was like 29. So search for Citizen short film. You'll find it straight away.
I'm sure there's only one.
No, there's not. There's loads. It was much of a pain in the ass.
In this age of remakes, considered for Isaac?
Maybe. Yeah, potentially. Can it was good. I liked it very much.
Yeah, I thought I could be a good doctor.
Also, coincidentally, today, you know how Facebook like notifies you
share memories
every now and again. Well, I got a thing on Facebook that said Citizen short film had 5 new previews today.
Yeah, oh, boy. Yeah.
It's written in the stars, mate. Everyone knows. Yeah.
It's had another, whatever the opposite of a preview is. Like, what we've done is looked back at the very end of it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
Wicked. Wow. Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast and our special dramatic reading section, which we'll be doing every week forever.
I've got loads more scripts.
Yes!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.